referee is reaching into her pocket. What's that card going to be? Oh, it's a red card. And that can mean only one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch Emergency Podcast. I am your host, Eric Paisley. With me today is...
John Brennig.
Emergency pod number two. League's Cup insanity continues into the finals as Nashville defeats The Narrative and Monterey 2-0. John, how are you doing today, my friend?
Well, I was good, and then I was bad. It's been a little bit of a roller
coaster. Yeah, it's been a roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster.
Last night was great, and then we all decided to buy tickets for Saturday, and that was an adventure.
Yeah, John and I just finished on the live. You could see us live purchasing our tickets. And again, if you want to catch us live, check out our Twitter feed, at @GOP_pod. We are live occasionally. Today, we are live for a very special occasion, which is to celebrate our win over Monterey, which puts us in the final championship match against Inter Miami, along with other players on that team, and we'll talk about that. All right, John, but let's we got a short amount of time today, so let's get right to it. Gut check on the so what was your gut reaction to the match last night?
We actually, I was gonna say, we looked pretty good. The first half was nervy. There were some times that I was not comfortable with our play. We had issues possession. We even had issues possession into the second half. But I felt like once the second half started, I shouldn't say that. Around 25, 30 minutes in, it felt like the game kind of hit a rhythm. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Monterey did have a lot of possession, but we had forced them into kind of our traditional stuff we do when we let teams have possession, which is circulating the ball around on the edges, pushing them back. It wasn't, it wasn't quite as much of the threatening stuff. Now, granted, they put things to it, the box, but... You know, Shaq and Dan gave the guys on the side room to cross, and then they block it or we put it out. Like, it seemed like it felt like we kind of handled them the way we do an MLS team. You know what I mean? It didn't feel like it was – we're being overwhelmed by, like, the Toluca game where they would just overrun us and things were falling apart and it wasn't great in the back. It felt like we were steady in the back. And then we had some good breaks going forward occasionally, and obviously, you know, we scored the goals and had the one that was called back. So like it just felt like overall we played a really good game and we did what we needed to do to and Nashville's identity, which is you can beat better teams or teams that are expected to win by the defensive oriented game plan, by absorbing the pressure, having good quality breaks, and, you know, taking advantage of your opportunities. It kind of felt like it was a little bit on script.
Yeah,
not that script, but our script. You know what I mean?
I'm going to break it down really simple. The first half was definitely a series of mischances on both their side and our side. It was just a series of mischances. The game was very exciting. I don't know, live it didn't seem like things were out of control just for it seemed like things were a little bit out of control for each side because we were pressing them, they pressed us. So it was a little less defensive on the surface. Again, I'm just giving my reaction as I was there at the match. It was very exciting. It was a very good game to watch. If you were a neutral, it was a fun game to tune into. The second
it
half.
It didn't necessarily have the high goal output, but it was still entertaining.
It was very entertaining. I was telling my wife that if I had to bring someone to a match that had never watched soccer before, that would have been a great one to bring because it was just exciting. You didn't have to really know all the nuances of the game to really get into what was happening. And as you pointed out, I like the narrative. There was definitely in the second half, there definitely seemed to be a narrative. And people around me, all the fans, the Nashville fans were talking, were kind of grumbling a little bit because it seemed overt. In the first half, and we'll talk about that in the second segment. In the first half, it seemed a little subtle. It seemed more overt in the second half. Like, it definitely seemed like there was a team that powers that be wanted to win that match, and it was not Nashville. That's all I'll say on that. Okay, but we got the win. Seeing Sam Surridge score again was truly, and I got to say this honestly, was very emotional. It was incredibly emotional. I got out of my seat. We went crazy, not just because it was sort of the dam burst in that, you know, the dam really burst for Nashville in that goal, but also, you know, just, you know, sort of validation for Sam. I can tell he was very emotional about it. And also validation for Mike Jacobs and the team for getting a player, going out, getting a player, spending the money, and automatically.
And getting, for him to work out from the beginning. Like,
yeah,
there's
getting money right off the bat.
A lot of time on Sam. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But again, we could, and maybe we'll dedicate some more time on the Sunday podcast, but hardest working for you. This one was tough for me, but who did you give the hardest working to?
To me, there were basically a couple standout players through the game, and I feel like you could kind of put them for both. I'm going to give it to Godoy because I feel like when I look at it, he didn't necessarily have anything that directly contributed to some of the goals, but he was all over. No, in the first couple minutes, he was doing some fancy footwork, dribbling by people. Like, Godoy looked calm in possession. His passes were good. He, like everyone, had a couple bad passes, not nearly as bad as Alex, who had a kind of an off game overall. But Godoy looked calm. He looked comfortable. He was dancing around people. He was getting the thing. He was running forward. I don't know if you noticed, but on the left-hand side with Schaffelberg, he was pushing up really high. And then he was also pushing far back. He was covering a lot of ground, more than I typically see from Godoy, which I think was part of Gary's game plan for this game, as he knew we were going to have to go end-to-end more and our midfielders were going to have to run a lot. But he was everywhere. That one clearance where he was back up against our touchline, hit the ball up, and then did the kind of, you know, did the freewheeling kick to get it out and just sky it over a guy. Like, everything, it just seemed like all of his touches were class, and he was all over the place. He was involved. He was moving back and forth. Like, Dax was also, you know, we talk about in general our midfield, there's a lot of activity. We require a lot of them in the diamond. Dax was playing back, but, you know, and he played a couple of his key passes, but I just feel like Godoy just showed up everywhere I was looking. He was on the left. He was on the right. He was pushing forward. Like, the man was the hardest working one out there, in my opinion.
I could have given it to Alex just for sheer being around everything. Yeah, but he didn't have the best game. He would probably even admit he didn't have his best game. He missed a sitter that he should have scored. He should have scored a goal. Yeah. And you know, maybe that ate at his play a little bit mentally. But I actually am going to give it to Dax. And it was actually the post-game show on 104.5 The Game. Shout out to them. Jahlil Anibaba talked very personally about his relationship with Dax McCarty when Jahlil decided to retire from the game, talking with Dax. And I know now that actually the Daxessence, what is it you coined? What's the term you coined?
I didn't coin it, I don't believe, but the Daxessence, yes, that's the term I use. And Chris Ivey is also a fan of it, which makes me feel cool too.
The Daxessence is a real thing. It is something that Dax wants to go out on his shield. And he is purposely and mindfully playing as high a level as he can. On purpose, because he also feels maybe this is his last year. And so it was a very personal story that Jahlil shared on air. So I'm going to give it to Dax. And maybe it didn't show up on TV, but Dax was doing a lot of coaching. He was doing a lot of on the field coaching. And to me, that's a lot of hard work trying to mentally be there, not only for your own match and your own game and being in your own space, but also trying to coach others on the field live. It was a tall order, and Dax was up to it. Dax rose to the occasion. And Dax elevating his play, I think, has elevated the play of the team at large. So
yes. And I will say this, there was the interview afterwards, it was Gary, Fafa, and Dax, and someone said something, and Dax even was kind of frank in the interview, and they're saying, like, you know, there were questions going in this season. My team has lifted me up. I feel like my play has been elevated. I found a place. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, he's like, I've grown in this comfortable place and I am playing more and it's working really well. And he was very happy about that, because he's like, I was questioning, he was seriously considering, you know, hanging it up before the beginning of the season. But so if this is his last rodeo, it has certainly been a good ride, fun ride so far. So hopefully it'd be nice if we get a trophy to go with it and, you know, send him out on that. Anyway.
MVP?
I am going to give it to Walker Zimmerman. The man was a menace in the back line. He intercepted so many passes in the air and on the ground. Look, Hani did Hani things, and I don't want to take away from that. He is clearly a candidate for that. Honestly, Surge is a fringe candidate because he wasn't involved as in many plays, but I think in this game he showed his great touches. He had, I think, one cross in from the side, the goal he scored, and another one. Like, he played really well, and it showed his quality, not just in front of the goal as a tall guy who can hit a header, but, you know, playing the other roles and contributing, and you saw him running back on defense. Hani, all the same things could be said. Great, you know, great assists, all that stuff. But to me, I don't know if we would have been there or been up as far as we were if it wasn't without Walker. He was key back there in intercepting so many passes and defending in the right places. And like, you know, McNaughton had a good game, but he also had some mistakes. Walker didn't look like he set a foot wrong. Like this, like I watched it and I was like, this is what a defensive player of the year looks like. This isn't just Walker. This isn't just a really good center back. This is a man who is the best defender in MLS right now. And he looked it in this game. So that's why he's the MVP.
Hadi Mukhtar is the MVP of this match because, and I'll talk about it in the second half a little bit, but he had one of his most complete games, I think, that I've seen him. He is, you can see his competitive nature, it's escalating. And I think that in the back of his mind, he knew we were going to face Miami. He wants to play against the best player on the planet. That there are people that shrink away from that challenge, and then there's people like Hani Mukhtar that's what they want. That's why they put on the uniform. That's why they get ready every day. That's why they do what they do. And Walker's the same way. Walker's incredibly competitive. So Hani Mukhtar doing Hani Mukhtar things. I'll talk about that in the second half. All right, best goal. Which of the two?
Ooh, Hani Mukhtar's goal. It doesn't count, but it's still the best goal, and screw you, ref.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I mean, it was a beautiful banger, but if you're going to make me choose from things that went in the net and then did count, Fafa's goal was nice.
That's pretty boss, man.
And it was the icing, because there was still, again, there was, I think, just over a minute of time about left, that less than a minute of time. But, you know, refs can go longer if there's a chance. They have a tendency to let teams stay in the game if they get possession. I could have seen them giving Monterrey a chance to push back down and make effort. But once he did that, it basically sealed the game, because the ref's like, you're not going to get 2 in 30 seconds. So let's call it on time and do that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it truly ensured that the game ended.
and Fafa has downsides, you know, his age, but his speed has not suffered yet, because he still has some pace.
And like, he took a couple of ill-advised shots. One of them, I think it was either Dax or Alex was open and he could have passed it and had a better, but I know he likes to take strikes, and that's fine. It worked out in this case in the end. He has a little bit of downside on that, but
I think that your point during the match, when you said Leal, you just typed Leal, and I'm like, this is the kind of match I would have preferred to have Leal in this match. For me, it was Sam Surge, of course. Surge's goal is going to go down as one of my favorite goals ever. It was a pretty emotional goal. I can see him scoring again in the next match, and we'll talk about that later. But right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we learned from this match. John's going to kid us with some quick stats, and we're going to tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch, because I'm off red card suspension, so stay with us. We are back. All right, John. Not only was the boys in gold back, but so was Tempo Taco. Javier and his family were back last night. I had my favorite meal there, which is the fajita steak tacos. Please check them out in section 118. They will take good care of you. They are not a sponsor of this podcast, but I wish they were. Tempo Tex-Mex tacos and premium coffee. And I got to tell you, the line for that stand last night was, I had to wait a long time to get my tacos. A long time. So, yeah, shout out to them. All right, John, what did we learn from this match? What did you learn from this match?
So I think to touch on something, a brief one, to touch on something we talked about earlier, when we play according to our script, I think we can do this. We can play up to teams. You talked about we played up, you know, a couple games to go, you know, to Club America. And
Club America made us a better team. We
played up to Monterrey because they were a better team. They had a lot of possession, but we did it on our script. Like, I really feel like, you know, you could look at this and be like, they had so much possession, but it was our script. Like, that's okay. That's what we do. We played it according to our script, and it worked. We influenced the game. They didn't push us too far out of the comfort zone, or like Toluca, where we kind of had a back and forth, like a tennis match, fast break situation, you know, and it was just chaos and goals were, you know. So I feel like we really influenced it and showed the quality. Also, I think it's silly and obvious, but we're going to say it. Sam Surridge is the guy. Well, the two parts. One, he's the guy. This is the man we wanted. This is what we want to look like. I mentioned, it's not just big headers. It's his touch in the box, his ability to pass, his willingness to come back and defend. I will say, exactly. I didn't see him I didn't see him quite as much. Like, Teal always seems to get in the aerial balls. I noticed he don't always get on the end. I saw a couple where he lost, didn't, but a couple he can headers. Work on that.
Yeah, he can work on that.
That's fine. On the clearance headers, like when Joe's, you know, Elliot's booting it out there. Yeah, he can work on that, but that's okay. But I think the other thing is, we see that now that we have a number nine who is that guy, look at what it's done for the team. Hani has a guy to left to. You saw on that goal, all three defenders collapsed around Hani. They left him open. And normally he kicks that ball to someone else, maybe even Schaffelberg. I don't know that he always makes it. Serge is the guy and he finishes it. You know what I mean? Because he has that, not only can Mukhtar pull the attention away from people and it leaves our true striker open, he has the ability to clinically finish on those things. And so that ends up as a goal as opposed to, you know, best case scenario for might have been a corner kick in a lot of those in that scenario.
Teal still has two big advantages in that he's a veteran player. Sam is still fairly young. Teal is a veteran player, which means he does very veteran cagey things. He's also a better hold up player. I'm sorry, but that's not a part of Sam's game yet. And I want to be, again, I'm only going to interject this as little as possible, but Nottingham doesn't play that ball. They play out of the back. They don't play long balls. And so Sam, I mean, to be honest, both at Bournemouth and at Nottingham, Sam doesn't play that game. He doesn't go up for headers. That's just not how they go. Anyway, here's what I learned.
So I will add on to this. But in some ways, those two things you mentioned, Teal does it, Sam does it, he has Teal around to teach him that, at least through the end of the season, because Teal's contract is up at the end of the season. Who knows? But he can learn some of that and develop it. And if he does, he's going to become that much more.
I can tell you what he has learned. He and Kosuke Kimura, a former Nashville NSC USL player and now coach, has taught him to do the roll-up thing on his shorts. He's doing that too. So Kosuke is training him correctly. All right. Here's what I learned, and this is a slight get off my pitch / learn. So let's rerun something you said earlier. The goal that Hani scored was beautiful, and the offside took forever to get. Mm-hmm. Here's what I learned: if a certain player on Miami's team had scored that, let's put that player, which we'll talk about a little bit. Let's put that player in that same situation against the same team, same shot, same goal, exact same players, other than just swap out Hani for another player called Lionel Messi. That goal counts. I'm sorry. That goal would count.
Well, there's a guy who put the video of that where the one with Joseph, they did score and they count it where Messi shot. Joseph was in the way, moved out of the way. So the ball would have hit Joseph. He moved out of the way, went past him. And the goalkeeper missed it and scored, and that was not called interference.
Yeah.
Supposedly, some people who are defending it saying, well, Joseph was trying to get out of the way, even though he blocked vision, but Muil tried to play the ball with his little half jump when he realized he wasn't going to get to it. And so that's what people are justifying as the difference, which I think is complete BS. Now, I will say, not to get too far off the track, but that's having that goal called off sucked. Not having the penalty in the second half called against us for Lucas, which looked like a really good penalty call, was nice. And so to me, I felt like karmically those things kind of evened out.
But that's not really my point. My point is that there are a different set of rules for a certain player that's coming to Nashville on Saturday than there are for our main guy.
Yes, and we're going to have to be super careful. We can't fall anywhere within 40 yards of the box because the man can't seem to miss a free kick.
Yeah,
we're going to have to, it's going to be a hard game. It is. And I think it'll, we'll be there and we'll see what happens. But
I did get a chuckle, and I'll leave with this what I learned. I did get a chuckle when Sam got pushed from behind in front of the ref. Sam got pushed from behind and got up and like looked at the guy, and the guy just shrugged. And I'm like, I shouted from the stands, "Welcome to CONCACAF," and everyone I got a good laugh out of that.
It was a very CONCACAF-y foul. If you admit, that one was pretty funny.
All right, John, here's some stats.
So I'm going to go again. I'm going to highlight our boy Zimmerman and talk about the fact that he 2-for-2 on ground duels, 5-for-5 on aerial duels. The man was a rock. Mm. 2 interceptions, 6 recoveries, and also a block. Last man tackle. Also got one of those. Remember the one where they may have reviewed it for a foul or whatever? The man was a beast. He locked things down. I just, heap the praise on him because I think he was key to what we're doing back there. But also, I will say this. Hani, successful dribbles, 6. Godoy, successful dribbles, only 1 this time, not as much. But I like to see that possession. Hani was out there doing things because you saw he dropped back really far. So there are a couple times he was bringing it up through the midfield, and I saw him progressing that. I feel like that's a nice little stat to encapsulate if you notice, we adapted and brought them deeper because of the press. We knew we were going to have to do that, and we were going to try to use the wingbacks to get it forward and then shift the flow of positions, you know, flop the field, whatever you want to call it. And I feel like Hani was the key in doing some of that. So he did some of the kind of hidden dirty work in leading to some of the buildup plays in possession as well.
Interesting. All right.
And also 38%, you know, possession, which is kind of what we've come to see from that. But, you know, it is what it is. It worked.
All right, John, who or what needs to get off our pitch?
Oh, well, you know, ticket prices, is it too soon?
We could talk about the ticket prices or give ourselves a yellow card for not opting in. But yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, no, let's do that. You and I get a yellow card right now for not opting into this, because we doubted a midseason tournament against Liga MX teams would be fun.
We were wrong. Folks at home, we were wrong. We were
Here's
wrong.
Here's the lesson, guys. If you have an option to opt in. And then if you don't want to go, sell them. It might not be for much. You know, your $25 supporter ticket might have only gone for $60 against Club America. Fine. But when it goes for the prices that's going for the finals, you'll be happy you opted in. And there are playoffs coming up this year. So that's a yellow card to us. But no, to me, the biggest thing I've seen this week is people. I saw Matt Doyle send a tweet out where he said, early days, but to me it looks like Surridge is just really, really good. And then as a response to that, someone whose Twitter handle I'm going to leave out of this called him the Honky Tonk Haaland.
Oh my God.
And so I'm going to give a red card to that fellow because, first of all, Haaland is a great player. Sam is not Haaland. But we are not going to call him that. And it set off a chain in the NSC Discord. We became other names like the Music Row Ronaldo and stuff. And it was a nightmare. And it was bad. Guys, he doesn't need a nickname. He's Super Sam. That's his nickname. Please get off my pitch with our silly, you know, anachronistic tied to Nashville. We don't need it. Just he's Super Sam. Please stop. Leave it at that. We don't need to do that. And for goodness sake, don't pick Honky Tonk Haaland as the one that you used to call him, because that's just so very bad.
Thank you for that, John. That's a really good one. I got to admit, that's one of your better ones. I got a really bad one. Stop throwing stuff on the pitch. Hey, Monterey fans, you're trash. Your supporters are trash. Monterey fans seem to be lovely people, but your supporters are trash because they keep throwing it on the field. Both goals had Sam almost got hit by a bottle twice. And I think the second time he got hit from the supporter section up top, them throwing crap onto the field in that corner during Fafa's goal. But that's not my get off my pitch. That's just my general. I'm now actually getting upset with the security because they don't seem to what are you doing? Like, you're sitting there looking at the crowd. You've got your back to the field. Like, you can't point the person out. Anyway, that's not my get off my pitch. That was just something that's been bugging me. No, my get off my pitch is, and I'm going to make sure I pronounce this correctly. I am giving a red card to Cristiano Ronaldo de Santos Aveiro. And I'm giving him a red card for not coming to MLS. Because if he had and joined a certain team in Nashville, it would be the rivalry of a century reunited. Think about that narrative. Now, that would have got us some airtime, okay? Instead, you're swimming in a huge pile of money, Scrooge McDuck style, in some league no one ever watches and no one knows what goes on and no one knows any of the teams. Because money, I guess. So, you know what? On that note, we got to wrap this up. So let's take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Miami match coming up on Saturday, our score predictions, and what we got wrong. So stay with us. We are back. John, who are we playing? When are we playing them?
So we're playing the Revolution.
Just kidding.
By the way, that game got moved to the middle of October for those who never.
Right before my birthday, yes.
Oh, the day before, yeah. We are going to host Fort Lauderdale and Miami and Messi. We're going to host Inter Fort Lauderdale. And the famous, you know, soccer player known as Lionel Messi. at 8 p.m. because we are the primetime game. So it is a late kickoff. Sunday's going to be hard, but it should, it's going to be thrilling. Either, I mean, the way I see it, either maybe Messi puts on a masterclass and I get to witness it in person. Kind of cool. And Nashville loses. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, that's worth it. That's worth the price. No, but seriously, in all seriousness, that's worth the price right there.
It is. It's worth the price of admission for the greatest of all time, or at least of our lifetimes, for sure.
Again,
maybe
again, for me, Maradona was still, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, but the greatest in our lifetime, in my lifetime, because I'm younger than you. Sorry. Didn't mean to hit that low blow. But to watch him play. But maybe Nashville puts up a fight. Maybe this is a close game. Maybe we pull out a win. It's going to be interesting. I'm intrigued by it. I'm glad that we'll get to see it. And I did not expect us to get this far in the League's Cup final. So it to me, this is kind of gravy. I didn't even think that this is our first final game. We're playing with house money at this point, in my opinion. So
I like that.
Put it all in and let's see what happens.
Well, what about the folks at home? How could they tell us what they think is going to happen?
You could go on to Twitter at @GOMP_pod and you could give us your opinions. You could also check on YouTube for Get Off My Pitch. I almost said Get Off My Pitch podcast. You could out there. And we're still on the Threads thing, but I don't think anyone else in the world is. I mean, there's like 5 people.
Everyone's quitting that because it's stupid. Dead. Yeah, all right. So if tailgating, do you think we should tailgate on Saturday?
I think we should. Yeah, okay. I think we should because, I mean, we're going to need dinner before the match.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and plan.
We'll try to tailgate and we'll tweet out the info.
Yeah, so we're going to tweet out the info. 478 Craighead Street is typically where John and I will be. So we'll tweet out beforehand. It's right beside Camp Bow Wow, so you can't miss us. All right, John, time for the what's the score, man? Let's just get to it.
So again, we're playing with house money. 3-2 Nashville wins.
Whoa.
I'm going for it. Look, I mean, I don't care what's there to lose. Like if we lose, we lose. If Messi drops, you know, if he drops a hat trick on us, I mean, that sucks, but it is what it is. I'm going 3-2. I'm going to pull out the optimism. I'm a homer. We're at home. I don't think it's going to be a great home atmosphere because a lot of fans are getting priced out of tickets. Like, let's be honest here. There's going to be a lot of neutrals and Messi fans.
There are going to be so many Barca jerseys in the stands.
But yeah, so I'm going optimism. 3-2.
Yeah. I'm going to be the cold water in the face. It's going to be 4-1 Miami, and there's going to be at least one PK for Messi and one regular goal. So he will get both a penalty kick and a regular goal because, again, that's the narrative. Right.
That's the narrative.
And God forbid we break the narrative. So I'm sorry to say about that. But, you know, I think it's going to be an entertaining game. I think it will be good television. I think it'll be good.
The biggest thing I hope is that the general people, all the people who are tuning in to watch Messi, see Nashville. They see Hani Mukhtar because the man needs more exposure. Yeah. Like I hope at the minimum Hani has a great game and people recognize who the star is. Yeah. So he gets, you know, outside of MLS. And I hope that, again, I know it's not going to quite be that, but at least people see Geodis as a great soccer venue and a great atmosphere. That's what I would like to come through if nothing else comes through is those things. Because it is a great place. He is a great player. And I think some of those things can be recognized. So that would be the kind of like consolation if all else goes wrong. I think hopefully those will be featured.
Well, I mean, small sample size, but the folks that visit who sit next to me in my regular seats often do compliment the stadium and the atmosphere. So, not the parking though. So,
little
feedback.
Give us two or more years until stuff gets sorted out, and the parking won't be so bad.
Right. Yeah. All right, John. What did we get wrong from last week?
What did we get wrong? A couple things. One, I said Brian could have won MVP, but I was talking about the hardest working for the award last week, and Brian was hardest working. He wasn't MVP. So, also, I mentioned, you know, I gave him the example of, you know, playing down to a team like New England in February. Honestly, New England's never really a bad team, so I don't know that we've ever played down to New England.
No Bruce Arena team is going to be bad.
No, they're never going to be bad. They might be mid, and they might be like seventh in the East, but they're never going to be bad.
No.
However, positive are, we were both correct in believing Sam got a goal because he did. And I think, because you mentioned this earlier, I'm going to ask you, I think he can do it again. In fact, I think if there is a goal, it's probably through Sam. So you agree he's going to get a goal. Do you think he starts? I don't know that he does because I don't know that he's in shape for it.
No. He is nowhere near a start.
Yeah.
I almost think the lineup would be unchanged on Saturday.
Yeah. I think we probably start a similar 45 in strategy. Though with Schaffelberg, that'll be the question is where is his health? So we might end up swapping that and Fafa may start because I know he came off a little hobbled in the game.
John, this has been a lot of fun. This tournament has turned into a phenomenon for us in Nashville, and we are glad that you have joined us, John and I, in this journey. Thank you for listening. John, thank you. I know you've got stuff to do, so do I, so have a great day.
See you.